Welcome to the Strategy-Driven Podcast, Retaining Your Best Employees. On behalf of the entire Strategy-Driven team, I would like to welcome you to this edition of the Strategy-Driven Podcast. Retaining Your Best Employees. The Strategy-Driven Podcast focuses on the tools and techniques executives and managers can use to improve their organization's alignment and accountability to ultimately achieve superior results. These podcasts elaborate on the best practice and warning flag articles found on the Strategy-Driven website at www.strategydriven.com. In this episode, Roxanne Emmerich, President and CEO of the Emmerich Group, shares with us her insights on why 87% of employees are so troubled by working with slackers that they are thinking of quitting and how to prevent this from happening. So now, without any further delays, let's get started. We are privileged to be joined by Roxanne Emmerich, author of Thank God It's Monday, How to Create a Workplace You and Your Customers Love, and President and CEO of the Emmerich Group. She is listed by Sales and Marketing Management Magazine as one of the 12 most requested speakers in the country for her ability to transform negative workplace performance and environments into bring-it-on, results-oriented cultures. Roxanne has been featured hundreds of times in leading publications on topics such as leadership for results, employee engagement for bottom and top line improvement, profit-rich growth strategies, and a multitude of other workplace breakthrough issues. Roxanne, welcome back to the Strategy-Driven Podcast.
I'm glad to be back, Nathan.
And I am thrilled to have you with us again, especially for our first podcast of the 2010 new year.
I think everybody's welcoming in a new year.
And before we start, I did want to mention maybe a little bit of a plug. I subscribe to your Thank God It's Monday website, and every Monday I get a note that takes me to your Monday message. This week's Monday message was on board reports. And I would hope that our audience will take a minute to click through the link that we'll provide with the article that goes with this podcast and subscribe for themselves, because I really find these to be very helpful and they're motivating on Monday mornings.
Thank you, Nathan. Well, they came as a result of, I said to my team, gosh, you know, we have had an incredible track record of turning around some of the highest performing companies in the country, as well as some of the lowest performing, and I said, we've got to get it out there. So this is one free service that we offer that any employee can get anywhere in the world with absolutely no cost to them that's having a wonderful history of really being pretty powerful and turning around the company in and of itself.
Yeah, and I love them because, like I said, they're kind of a pick-me-up on Monday morning. It only takes a minute or two to listen to, and you provide just such really great advice that can be immediately actionable by all the employees that would be listening.
Well, I believe, Nathan, that the time is so valuable and that people don't oftentimes respect time like it needs to be respected. And so a lot of what we're teaching in those messages is not only, you know, how to be an amazing human being at work, but how to get massive results without making yourself crazy with all the Mongolian goat rodeo of chasing your tail all day long, which happens in my estimate from what I've seen working for 20 years of turning around companies, probably about 95% of people spend a good chunk of their day doing things ineffectively and doing the wrong things.
Absolutely. Now, Roxanne, I think all of our listeners know that 2009 was just a horrible year for most companies.
And time to close it down.
Oh, yeah. And you know, and they did close it down. They cut a lot of costs. They cut a lot of workforce, and employee morale just left in shambles. And so often in the companies that I saw, people, I mean, they physically looked down when they went to work, and they talked about it. And it was a real productivity drain. You shared with me some research that you had done, and I was absolutely shocked to hear that 87% of employees were considering leaving their job because they had to work with slackers. And in today's economy, where jobs are at a premium, to hear that many people were considering leaving was just astonishing. I was wondering what you found to be the driver behind these kind of numbers.
Well, I think, Nathan, the driver behind these kind of numbers is that people don't know how – people have stopped winning at work. Mm-hmm. And they think it's because of the economy, but it's not because of the economy, because we have clients in every industry that are thriving right now, but with a whole different set of skill sets. But most organizations have not nearly updated themselves in applying the right strategies, the right approaches, and most importantly, they allow the craziness within the organizations that sucks our energy dry on a daily basis. And Nathan, besides those people who are considering quitting, the newest research that just came out shows that American Insights Workplace Survey showed mm-hmm. that 54% are actively planning on looking for a new job right now, and that of the 30-year-olds, that number jumps to 71%. So they're not just thinking about it anymore. They are actively planning and getting busy to go find a different job. But here's the thing, Nathan. Where are they going to go?
Yeah, absolutely.
Everywhere you go, there you are.
Yeah.
And if you haven't fixed this workplace, you're not going to fix the next one.
Yeah, it's just going to be the same situation, just a different sign above the door that you walk in the morning.
That's right.
Yeah. Well, now I have another question. And with all the staffing cuts that have gone on, and due in large part because there's that continuous push to do more and more with less and less, you know, I would have thought that the organizations would have already eliminated their less productive employees. Has the label of slacker in the workplace become one that's really more perception than reality?
Well, I think there's always a new level of slacker as defined by that particular audience and that particular organization. And so, you know, what's happened, Nathan, is, you know, there's been layoffs in many organizations, and what happened is the people left behind were left with double the work and half the friends. And so they quickly became disengaged, and now they don't want to be there. They already are posting their resume, and so they're not doing their work. And so now they are the slackers that will soon be replaced again. And they can go someplace else, but again, they haven't looked at themselves and said, wait a minute, I didn't realize that I got to keep the job, that I got to create a meaningful difference in this work that I have right where I'm at. And so if they didn't learn it there, they're probably going to not learn it the next job or the next, because the reality is we just keep having to deal with our own internal issues, which is how do we create the work environment where we teach people how to treat us and we get about something amazing as opposed to shooting wildly toward mediocrity.
Yes, and well, you mentioned it that these 87% are considering quitting their jobs, that they're less engaged, and I imagine they probably don't really care a whole lot about their company's performance. Are you seeing some other secondary impacts associated with that condition, other actions now organizations are having to take, whether it's they're getting impacted so they have people leaving and their HR group has to ramp up its recruiting activities, things of that sort?
Well, think of it this way. I always tell our clients, never, ever, 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 if you can do anything else, have a layoff. Because really there's never a need for layoffs. What you're dealing with, you know, okay, once in a while there can be a layoff. It's like, okay, we're closing off our division that happens to deal with Dubai. Okay, that would be a reason for a layoff. But when you create a layoff, it sends the impression to the employee of, we don't care about you. Well, okay. Once that message was out that clearly, I don't care what you do, bringing that back around again is going to take a decade to really get people to go back into that level of trust. Now, that said, a lot of people are not paying their way in a workplace, and those need to go, but on productivity issues as opposed to layoffs.
Okay. Now, as executives and managers, you know, I know that now is always the best time for us to better engage our workforce.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I also recognize that there's something special about starting the new year that makes everybody just a little more ready for and a little more accepting of change, whether that be in the workplace or in their personal lives, to move forward. You know, we all establish these New Year's resolutions. What do you recommend that organizations' leaders do to kick off 2010 to better engage their employees so that, you know, in general, we just have fewer slackers, fewer less productive employees?
That's such a great question, Nathan, because the beginning of the year is a wonderful time to take advantage of the transformational impact of going into the vacuum. The vacuum is, hey, we're starting a new year. It's easier to let go of the old. People don't want to change. And so yeah. Beginning of the year, they want to change. It's amazing. And
yeah.
So every one of our clients, we have doing a rollout at the beginning of every year and also always at back to school, the two best times of the year. We have them do the two most important rollouts at those two times of the year. Those things that are most important in moving their business ahead, whether it's now we're going to start measuring cross sales and celebrating it like crazy, or now we're going to start measuring how we're handling inbound pricing inquiries, okay? Mm-hmm. Whatever it is that has the biggest impact, we have them do the rollout with that, mystery shop it, measure it, celebrate it every week. Every individual should know how they're doing compared to everybody else. It should be fun. It should be playful. It should be a game with points and different teams competing against different teams. Take advantage of this time of the year to really roll through an energy burst by making it fun. Nathan, can I spend some time talking about the psychology of change? Do we have time for that today?
Oh, we do have time for that. Yes, please.
I would love to talk a little bit about, I just saw some statistics that middle-aged women are right now the biggest demographic who are doing gaming. And I said, when I first heard that, I thought, you've got to be kidding me. I mean,
yeah.
Who's got time to sit and do games in the evening and play solitaire and compete against other people on the internet and on games?
Mm-hmm.
But it tells you where the psyche of the population is. And so if you know that people want to play games, let them play games at work. But the games need to be about your key initiatives and your key result areas. So like one of the things that we have our clients doing at the beginning of this year is we're rolling out something for each employee called minimum, target, and optimal, or MTOs.
Okay.
And so for every employee, they have clearly defined minimums. So minimum is, hey, if you don't hit this, this is going to be serious. You're either going to go on probation, you're going to have your salary cut, you're going to be let go. I mean, minimums are minimums. And so they need to be low enough. And so unless somebody's really messing up in every one of those categories, mm-hmm. it shouldn't be kicking out. A target is what you want them to be hitting, and an optimal is ring the bell kind of stuff. So what you do is you create a game then. And so you put them together on teams. And so, you know, when they hit an M or minimum, they get a 1 point. If they hit a target, they get 5 points. If they hit an optimal, they get 20 points. And so, and then the teams compete against each other, and the postings of the team results go on the scoreboard every day. If you want to see a business turn around, watch the game being played. It's
okay.
Amazing when you focus people's energy. Because people just want to win. It's a crazy thing we have going on.
Oh, yeah. There is so much competition. And you're right. I mean, just the game, I think, makes it fun.
You know, when you think about as a country, how much money is spent on national sports. And really, when you think about it, I just watched the Viking game. And
yes.
Who cares that football is going up and down, you know, back and forth? I mean, at the end of the day, when you really think about it, it's just a leather ball going up and down the field.
<That's>
it doesn't
right.
change lives, you know. It doesn't save lives, but it is the entertainment that our brain craves. So why not play into that the vast majority of the time when people are in the workplace and have them feel like, ooh, our team is pulling ahead. Whoa, we're behind by just a little bit. It keeps the brain focused. And I'll tell you, in most organizations we work with, the leadership team is unfocused, the middle managers are really unfocused, and the front line has no clue which direction to be going, but they're working hard, just not on the right things.
Right. And that game creates the right focus on the right things.
Because you define it.
Right.
You define it along with them. Exactly. It's like, okay, so for instance, like salesperson.
Mm-hmm.
You know, most organizations, they have quotas, and people get depressed because they're not meeting their quota, and they're scared, and it's all fear-oriented. Why not make it a game and say, we're not going to just look at your numbers. We're going to look at your inputs in addition to your outputs. So number of calls to current clients, number of calls to prospects, the number of, we call them ACEs, which is, means did you ask the right kind of needs questions, the number of you know, new accounts being brought in, or the volume dollar amount. So maybe those are the five or six things you're going to measure. And
sure.
For each one of those, put a minimum, a target, and an optimal, but make the minimum such that they get to hit the minimum. Because when they hit the minimum, they go, okay, got the fear out of the way. Now I can go back into the love. Love calling on clients. I love winning. And so let them get past the fear very easily.
Oh, sure. No, I love that. Of course, I also recognize that there's going to be some times where employees, they just don't engage, or they just don't become more productive. Is there a time that we should then invite them to leave our organization? And if so, how would that conversation look like?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, Nathan, you know, it really goes into one of two categories, and I always ask leaders to get clarity about is this a performance issue or is this an attitude issue? Because
okay.
Oftentimes the tools they're applying are applied to the wrong problem. And so, you know, there's an old saying, it's kind of crude, but if you held a gun to someone's head and they can do the work, then it's an attitude issue.
Okay.
And there's a lot of people who, given the right motivation, will drastically improve their performance. And so first of all, you need to start off by deciding which of those two it is. Then based upon those two, I recommend two different kinds of conversations to get people back in alignment.
Okay.
So can we go into the attitude one first?
Sure.
Okay. So let's say, Nathan, that you have a bad attitude.
Okay.
and let's pretend for just today that I'm your boss.
Okay.
And so if I come to you, Nathan, and I say, Nathan, I'm so excited about where this team is going, and my sense is that you're not sharing that excitement, and that's okay, because maybe this isn't your thing. And if this isn't your thing, you've got to go find your thing, Nathan. Now I'm addressing the core issue of, Nathan, you got to choose in, or you got to choose out. Either one's good, but you are making yourself miserable here. You know, what people don't understand is that attitude is a choice, and it's made at absolutely every minute. And you can be as miserable in the workplace as you want to be, or you can be as joyful as you want to be. Same thing with marriage. You know, anybody who's been married for more than a day knows that. You know, my husband said something cute to me this morning. He said, oh, you know, it's been all these years, and I'm still looking at you the same way as when I first met you. He said, isn't that nice? Because in most relationships, that's never the case. You know, they learn to hate each other by the end. And I said, yes, we've learned to really love each other's flaws. And you know, and we were kind of joking about that, because it's like there are things that make us crazy about each other. And we just don't, you know, and we spend about 2% of our time talking through those issues because they need to get brought up.
Yes.
But we spend 98% of the time just yucking it up and having fun together and not getting caught up on the 2%. Now, I'll tell you, I could so easily reverse that, and I could spend all that time thinking about that 2%, and I would not like being around him at all, and he would not like being around me. The same thing applies at work. You know, where is your focus?
Sure.
Are you choosing to be miserable, or are you choosing to be joyful? That's a choice. So that's the attitude piece.
Okay. And really, it helps the employee, that conversation, take ownership for their attitude.
That's right. And I'll tell you, you know, we've been doing this for 20 years. I've been having people do the conversation. And we used to keep records on this. And we were finding that well over 90% of the people who have had the conversation and they're asked to come in the next day and declare if they're in or if they're out, that over 90% of them drastically, not only do they opt in, but they drastically improve their attitude and the results.
Right.
To the point, we've had clients who say, I never would have thought that one was possible. That's a miracle.
Yeah.
but when you take their negative energy and rechannel it into positive energy, they've got energy, and they really want to move. So that part's good.
Excellent.
So the other conversation then, Nathan, is the performance conversation. And sometimes somebody just doesn't have the ability, or sometimes they're just not clear. And again, you got to define those two, because it's kind of like a flow chart, which way you're going to go on this. If they don't have the ability, then this just isn't the right job, and pushing water up a hill is not going to work. You cannot coach height. Stop making them miserable. Just go into the eye of the needle and have an honest conversation and say, this is not a good fit.
Okay.
If, on the other hand, they have the ability, but they're just not, like, focusing in well enough, I have another four-step conversation, but this one goes differently. It goes like this. Nathan, when you come in late to work, the impact of that is that other people end up having to do your client calls for you as they're coming in. My request is that from now on you're always here at least 10 minutes early so you're ready to work right at 8 o'clock. Do I have your commitment? So what I've just done is a four-step process again, but I've used very committed and specific language. It's no, Nathan, you're bugging me. Can't you ever be here on time? Nathan, what the heck? I mean, doesn't your watch work?
Right.
Instead, it's right. It's like, Nathan, the observable behavior is blah. My specific request is blah. You know, the impact of you having done that thing, that should be actually the second step. The impact is this. Then my request is specific behavior, and then do I have your commitment? So there's no wiggle room here. We're going right into it.
Right. And again, it places ownership squarely then on the person.
Yeah, the monkey has to get off our backs and onto their backs.
That's right. Oh, absolutely. Roxanne, I did want to ask you a flip side to this coin of the 87% of employees who are thinking of leaving. And we've talked now about the slackers that they reference and how to improve overall employee productivity. But what should we do to better reconnect with those 87% of employees who are disenfranchised such that they stop actively looking for employment at other companies?
Mm. Well, there's not an easy answer because it's got to be a thorough answer. Mm-hmm. The one piece is you got to get honest, and so you got to go meet, you got to go eyeball to eyeball with people and say, "Hey, Joe, what's going on? You don't seem to be fully engaged here. Tell me what's going on. What have we done that we need to change? You know, what are the requests that you have of us? Great. Okay, now here are my requests." Can we both meet these commitments? Great. So going into it, as opposed to what people do, is they walk around and pretend like it's not going on. Well, you know what? Okay. It's going on, and it's eating you alive. Well, more importantly, it's eating your profits and your top line alive.
Oh, absolutely.
And so, like right now, we have a lot of clients in the banking industry, and if you know what's going on in the banking industry, it's not pretty. Mm-hmm. And we have client after client after client having record year. As it should be, because it doesn't matter what the economy dishes up. What the economy dishes up is always an opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
It's always an opportunity to pull ahead. And so for people who are paying attention, these are the times to pull ahead. So, you know, the key is you have to go into the eye of the needle on these things and really address these particular issues. And then also, you know, that's why we invented this thing called the Kick Butt Kickoff, which is the one-day event.
Mm-hmm.
The Kick Butt Kickoff solidly goes into the eye of the needle, not like anything I've ever seen anywhere in any personal development program or any business program. It just goes boom, right in. And at the end of that program, people come up and they're crying saying, I've hated working here for 27 years and I can't wait to go to work tomorrow. Well, that's the point, is they have forgotten about their zest to be passionate about making a difference through their work. Mm-hmm. They started making it work.
Yes.
And so the point of that program is not in a fluffy kind of way, not in like a cheerleading kind of way, but in a real solid, now we're going to talk about who we are as people and who we've become as people and who we really are and how to bring that back into the workplace again and how to get massively about making a difference as opposed to just showing up every day and going through this list.
Yes. It really kind of puts them back in their first day at work mind frame.
Which is exactly the point. I remember, you know, that first day of work feeling when you know, your shoes are shined and you're all ready to go and you're happy and you're certainly feeling confident that you were chosen to transform that workplace. You've got that energy. And then, you know, it takes about 2 weeks and you start finding out so-and-so doesn't like so-and-so and so-and-so didn't meet their objectives. I guess they don't even have to meet my objectives and I don't like my boss because they do this thing funky. And so it's like, okay, so I'll just kind of get by because the rest of them are getting by too. That's why we invented this Thank God It's Monday process and the kick butt kickoff, is because that has to be interrupted. It's kind of like an alcoholic where you have an intervention. It's an intervention. It's an intervention for a whole bunch of people who have forgotten how to be powerful at work and get massive results.
Sure. Roxanne, now it's my turn to ask you if you have time for another question.
I do.
And, well, this question is still in the same lines of this 80% of employees, but I get leaders and managers at companies, they tell me that, you know, gee, this person left and I was surprised. So, you know, this person being part of that 87%, how do I as a manager look for or try to identify telltale signs of people who might leave that I need to engage with?
Mm-hmm. Well, sometimes they're pretty good at it. Oftentimes it's a lack of eye contact.
Okay.
Sometimes you see it as you start to see performance go down a little bit. I mean, suddenly they're busy looking for other jobs, and so
yeah.
You can't get it all done in a day, and so that starts to sacrifice. And so you can see it there. You can see it in what they're volunteering, but you'll also hear it in their language about what they're willing to plan for the future. And so suddenly they're not volunteering to do those things on committees anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's because they don't want to be disingenuous. They can't stand being so inauthentic in their conversation, so it starts to show up, and they just get really quiet in meetings.
Okay, sure. I had never thought of that before. Oh, that's great. Now, Roxanne, before we close, and I know we've talked a bit about the Monday morning message, but I wanted to ask you if you could talk a little bit more about your Thank God It's Monday website, which is www.thankgoditsmonday.com. And just the additional resources that our listeners could find there.
Absolutely, Nathan. Well, on the website, we have not only the ability for them to buy books in bulk, which we highly recommend. I think the reason the book held the New York Times bestseller list for several months and hit top of Business Week and Wall Street Journal and sold out internationally in many cases as well was because companies are buying this thing in bulk, and they're saying, we're reading this together. You have a week to read this. It takes 2 hours. And then we're going to come together and make some agreements about how we're going to be at work together. And so the book is the core piece to really move things ahead. Then the Monday morning messages are something that all you have to do is get people's emails signed up, and if you want the whole company signed up, you just have to have authority to, you know, let us know and give us the Excel spreadsheet. We'll get you signed up.
Sure.
But we'll have whole companies who listen together on Monday morning. They gather together, they listen, and they say, how are we going to apply this information? And our clients are just raving about the impact that that's making. There's also a course that we offer in May called Lead the Transformation, which is where we recommend you send at least 3, 4, 5 people from your organization if you're large enough for that big of a group. Otherwise, a couple is fine. But what you do is you get a core group of people who learn all the systems to go push this stuff through.
Okay.
And that's a really powerful one. And the other thing they can find out on the Think Ask Monday site is I have a program, it's my favorite program in the whole wide world to do. It's called Permission to Be Extraordinary. And it's for executives to get the mindsets, to get themselves out of their own way to go lead an organization in a powerful way. And every client who's ever been through that has said it's the most life-changing thing. It saves their marriages, it saves their businesses. And so it's my favorite thing to do as well. And so they may want to look there for that as well.
Oh, great. And we will put links to your website in this episode of our Strategy-Driven Podcast. I'm also going to put a link for our listeners back to the podcast that you and I did together. It was in August, on your book, Thank God It's Monday, because it's a great book. And if they haven't taken a chance yet to listen to that podcast, I would certainly hope they do. More importantly, I hope they take the opportunity to pick up a copy of your book, because it's a phenomenal book. And I think if they put to practice the principles you share in the book, they'll really find that their employees are just so much more engaged, and the workplace environment is just so much richer and more enjoyable for people to be in. Well, Roxanne, I want to thank you not only for your time today, but for sharing your insights on retaining organizational talent. You know, I thoroughly enjoyed our discussion, and I hope our listeners, again, will take time to visit your website in order to learn more about how to create a more engaging and motivating workplace environment. I also hope they'll pick up a copy of your book and subscribe to your Monday messages. So thank you again for joining us.
It has been my joy, and I hope for you a wonderful new year, and for all the listeners to decide to set their own destiny this year, because there's a lot of economy yet to kind of bash us around a little bit, and so it's time for us to be in charge again.
Well, thank you, Roxanne, and a very happy and prosperous 2010 to you, too.
Thank you so much, Nathan. Take care.
Thank you for joining us. We hope you enjoyed this special edition of the Strategy Driven Podcast. I would like to personally thank Roxanne Emmerich for being with us today and sharing her insights on retaining organizational talent. As always, we would appreciate receiving your feedback by email at podcast@strategydriven.com. If you enjoyed the show, please consider voting for us on Podcast Alley and visiting our website at www.strategydriven.com. You can find more information about Roxanne Emmerich and her book, Thank God It's Monday, at www.thankgoditsmonday.com. Until next time, so long.